Now John says in verse 8, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, you don't lose your salvation when you have fellowship with the wrong folk. I think we need to understand that very carefully. We put ourselves in a dangerous position. But it does mean this, that the minute that you and I identify ourselves with a cult, or we go off into this type of a thing today that denies the deity of Christ, we've lost our reward. There will be no reward for a believer that has done a thing like this. And that, I think, is made perfectly clear in this particular passage here. Now, this is strong language, but you haven't heard anything yet. Now, in verse 9, he goes on in this vein here, the same vein that he'd been talking about. Now, he says this, that if you are taken in by one of these deceivers, it does not mean you lose your salvation. It means that you lose any reward. And every believer ought to be working for a reward, to be able to hear him say someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Paul, at the end of his life, was able to say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he knew he would receive a reward at the end of his life. Now, during his life, he wasn't sure of it. He said that he didn't want to be disapproved when he came into the presence of Christ. Therefore, it will behoove you and me to be very careful not to be taken in. Now, he says in verse 9, whosoever transgresseth. Now, this word transgress is a very interesting word in the Greek. It's proagon. Ago means to go, and pro means before. It means to go before, or to go ahead. And actually, it means here not so much transgress as to go farther than is right. And that is the meaning that Thea in his Greek lexicon gives to it. Go farther than is right. Whosoever goes farther than is right. That is, goes to some extreme. That was the thing the Gnostics claimed. In fact, the word Gnostic means knowledge. They claimed to have a little more knowledge than anyone else, that they had something that made them super-dupers. And there are a lot of saints, I say a lot, there are few that I've met today, are in that category. They feel like they have something that you don't have. I get a letter every now and then from some person that tells me that I'm lacking, and I recognize I am, but the point is, I just don't feel like they're the one to tell me, because they tell it from the viewpoint, they've got it, and I don't have it. Now, that could well be true, by the way, but my feeling is, they've gone farther than is right. They feel like they are super-duper, and they manifest no love for the brethren. Now, that is the thing that characterizes them. I always think of the little story, and I've told it before, about Bishop Moore of the old Southern Methodist Church. He was at a conference in my Southland. There were a group of people that were known when I was a boy as Holy Rollers. I've attended several of their meetings when I was a boy and a young fella, just for the entertainment, actually, to watch them roll, and they actually rolled. And yet they preached the gospel, and many of them were really believers. And Bishop Moore was at this conference of Methodist preachers, and one of these young country preachers came up to Bishop Moore and said to him, says, Bishop Moore, do you think the Holy Rollers will go to heaven? He says, they will if they don't run past the place. Well, that is the condition, it seems to me, of what John is saying here. Whosoever goes farther than is right becomes an extremist and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. You see, they graduate from this. I was reading just some time ago about several theologians, in the East together with several pastors that met together, and they felt that they had arrived now at the place where they did not need to answer the fundamentalists on the question of the virgin birth or the deity of Christ or whether Christ died for his sins. They feel like they've graduated from that. They have now become highly intellectual, totally sanctified, and they have reached the summum bonum of life. They are now up at the apex, and they look down upon all the rest of us poor folk who believe in the deity of Christ and that he died for our sins. You see, to my judgment, they have transgressed and they abide not in the doctrine of Christ and they have not God. No wonder they came to the conclusion that God's dead. He wasn't dead, they were. That was the problem. Dead in trespasses and sins. And he that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, you today are abiding in the doctrine of Christ. You have God the Father, and you have God the Son, and you have access to God through the Son today. We have access to God through Christ by his marvelous infinite grace today. If we abide in the doctrine of Christ. Now, that word abide here means actually to remain. This is a permanent arrangement. And that is another criticism that sometimes has been made. Someone was telling me this, that they asked a liberal preacher in Los Angeles several years ago what he thought about me, this liberal preacher. And he's an outstanding man, a very fine man in many ways. I've always respected him because he's one of the few honest liberals that I've met. He just came out and said he didn't believe practically nothing, and he stuck by his guns. I just didn't feel he should be in the ministry, you know. It's sort of like a man selling full of brushes, and he doesn't have any brushes to sell. And so that was the position I thought of this man. And the man said this. He said, concerning McGee, he says, I respect McGee and his viewpoint. He says it's old-fashioned. And the thing is, he hasn't changed it in years. He hasn't apparently grown a bit. Well, may I say to you, that's about the nicest compliment the man could have returned to me, because he said, I haven't changed. And I intend for it to be that way. You see, that's what he's saying here, that he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ remains in it. It doesn't change. He hath both the Father and the Son. Now, this is very important to see.